Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we just had a little technical difficulty, but once again, I want to welcome everyone to the Man Up Talk Show with yours truly, Mr. Naz, and of course, the panel. We are back in the building. What's going on, everyone? Once again, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Tonight's topic is, can you stand the rain? So before we even get into it, let's kind of spin around the room. Who we got on deck tonight?
Tom Reynolds here.
Hey, Brother Tom, what's going on, brother? How you feeling today, brother?
Hey, good. How about yourself?
Oh, man, it's been a challenging week, but God is good, brother. So I feel
all the time.
Hey, there we go, brother. Brother Tom Reynolds is holding it down on the Man of Talk Show. And I believe we got my other brother online. Brother Edward L. Fairley. What's going on, bro?
How you doing, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Doing well.
Awesome, awesome. Brother Dow will be calling in shortly to the show. I spoke to him right before we kind of get behind the scenes, but he'll be tuning in shortly. He's en route to his home now, so you know how it is. Everybody's doing their basic 9-to-5. So before we get into it, gentlemen, let's kind of spin around the room. Let's find out who's been doing what for the week. For those just tuning in, last week we took a sabbatical, postponed the show due to some personal things that some of our team members going through. Not making excuses, but sometimes, you know, it's out of showing respect, you know, that stuff we felt was appropriate. So going around the room, I guess we could start with Brother Tom and then spin it to Ed.
This week's been a busy one. I was actually office shopping this week. The NAACP, we're looking for an office down in Trenton right across from the State House to be able to be more involved with legislative advocacy. And then yesterday I spoke at the Senate hearing on the DREAM Act because we want to make sure that those who are in this country by no means of their own can get the same treatment as those who have been here. So we were down there testifying on behalf of that. Other than that, I've just been, hustling and grinding every day.
No, I hear you, brother. I definitely hear you. So, I mean, you were talking about you had to speak pertaining to the DREAM Act. Can you explain to the listeners, for those just tuning in, what you're going to know all about?
Yeah. The DREAM Act, the New Jersey version, is because Congress has dropped the ball on the legislation. Our president had asked Congress to pass a law that would allow students who have come to this country by no choice of their own, that their parents brought them when they escaped, whether you want to use the term illegally or just to seek better opportunity, these kids that came with them didn't choose to come with them. And so that legislation that came out of committee yesterday was that if you went to New Jersey high school for 3 years or more, and you apply and get into a New Jersey state university after doing New Jersey high school, that you get in-state New Jersey tuition. Where currently they don't get New Jersey tuition. They have to pay out of state, even though they've been in New Jersey most of their lives.
Okay. So we're talking about a lot of families that's in, they came from overseas or out of the country that's been living here, pretty much for, majority of life, especially the kids. That's how, graduate high school, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
I think about my own family when I talk about this. My family's from Jamaica. My grandfather got here, and he didn't give my parents a choice. He just said, "I'm here. You're coming with me." they didn't sit to choose, Grandpa, Dad, I'd like to stay here while you go do something else. I know I'm only a kid, but no, we came here, you came here.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's definitely important. So at the end of the day, what the final outcome is, Jersey is going to allow this to, as far as honor them, as far as, paying for colleges and stuff like that. Is that what we're saying here?
Well, we're saying that, at least they get to pay in-state tuition rates, and that's equity right there. The people who go to class with everyone else, they should be able to do the same.
Absolutely. I mean, I know that's out of state versus in state. That's a big difference there. Big difference.
Definitely.
Okay, Brother Eddie. Well, first of all, before any further, man, my condolences and prayers to you and your family. Definitely upheld you and the family in prayer, man. So it goes out to you, and I say that from the bottom of my heart, man. I didn't want to kind of announce it to everybody, but I figure if it's going to be coming, it's going to come from you. It's more appropriate, but definitely from my family to yours. Much love to you, definitely, and we keep you in prayer, definitely, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. So what's going on, brother? I know you're always busy.
Oh man, unfortunately, I just got busier, and I'm now down to only two hours of sleep a day, literally. And I've been taking vitamin B and C and all kinds of stuff to try to keep my immune system up. It's only temporarily until December the 16th. I'm actually just trying to cram to get some licenses that I want and need to do some make some moves that I'm trying to make. So I'm actually within the last week and a half, I was cramming for what would be considered a semester course for 10 days, and I'll be taking a test to see if I pass to get the licensing for it on Monday. So that's why this week was so busy. Balancing that with enjoying family and stuff like that, and I just returned back to mentoring my boys. I took off 3 weeks just to kind of get rebuilt some my energy or whatever. Just you can't get burned out because then your ministry is not effective. So I had to take a break from it so that I could just get my mind and stuff right and just step away from stuff and gain more perspective and insight, pour into myself. Just like I said, so I could be effective and valuable to the young men. And I came back, and it was well worth it. It needed to be done, and it showed. Because when I came back, it was for one, they clearly told me how they missed me, and they stressed how it seemed like it was longer than what it really was. And but I fell right back into it, and it was at an inappropriate time too, because there's a young boy that just got 6 licenses here in Virginia. I think he's 17. He just got 6 life sentences for burglary, or was it robbery, or something like that. He wasn't carrying the gun. He was with his so-called bloods, his brothers, that's supposed to be his ride or die. They got his back or whatever. And at 15, they went and crashed the party and robbed everybody. Now, unfortunately, this boy at 15, he didn't have the gun. One of his friends hit one of the people there. He was just there. They stole some weed and a couple of other things. Now, this young boy, two blood brothers or whatever through the blood gang, they copped a plea, which got them 10 and 13 years. They were older than him. Because the charges that were presented to him, he didn't take the plea, went to court, and I really don't feel that it was explained to him that, he needed to take the plea because based on his charges in Virginia, it's mandatory. Right. Like, if you go to court and you hold anybody hostage, you get a life sentence if you lose. So there were 6 people at this party. Of course, they were held hostage. That one was true. The other things, I guess, he stressed that I didn't do all of this, so I'm not taking the blame for all of this. And because he was, his mom couldn't really make the decision for him because he was being tried as an adult. It's really a sad story. And when I got back, I stressed the importance of making right decisions. And this whole gang stuff, they clearly don't have you back because those two are the ones that testified against them during the trial. Geez. Yeah, and they took the plea and everything. So it was ugly, but it was a great lesson at the same time. And I'm hoping that something happens to where he can get retried or something. I don't know, but my heart goes out to him, and it's actually the reason why I do what it is that I do, to prevent this from happening to my young boys that I'm mentoring. So that's pretty much all that's going on with me, man. I'm not getting any rest, unfortunately. I need it. But yeah, it's something that I feel I have to do in a short period of time to do what I feel I need to do. So,
my mom's going better.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I wanted to ask you about that, brother. How's your mom?
It's crazy because she had surgery that Friday. Her boyfriend died Wednesday. She had a mandatory surgery because they had found cancer in her that Friday. And, I spoke at the funeral, and that was actually weird because when I got finished speaking, getting text messages from my cousin and stuff saying, man, you tore the house down, and we're looking around like, are we being watched? And the funeral was live, and they saw it in New York and New Jersey and all kinds of stuff, and that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it was good because his mother, she had just recently had surgery, and she couldn't make it to her own son's funeral because of the rehab that she was going through. It was crazy. So,
wow.
It's just been an interesting week. Thanks.
It had to be. Jeez. Well, brother, I mean, all the stuff that you do, it definitely, you put a lot of work in, bro. I mean, I'm not just saying it. I mean it, man. It's the stuff that you do, and to stay strong the way you do, brother. I definitely salute. I always love to get behind our brothers, especially my own. That just put hard work in as a family, as a spiritual man, and you know, and also you just have that attitude, like you know, I'm still going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. So, man, you definitely deserve the salute, brother.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
No doubt. I think I have my brother Darryl online.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am online tonight.
Man. Once again, the one and only Brother Darryl Harrison is online tonight. First of all, you know, before I go any further, I want to extend my prayers and blessings to you and your families as well, man, and your time that you've gone through. Rough week, but, you know, I've learned a lot. Long service, but I've learned a lot. Long service. Oh man. Just before we get any further, I think we have Sister Sig online. I want to make sure I acknowledge her. I'm looking at the boards here. Do we have Sig online?
Yes, you do. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Sig. Good. The lovely Sig, the first lady. Hold it down. We want to make sure we get an acknowledgement. The lovely Sig online. And I think we lost Tom, but I believe he's back online. We'll make sure I have his old panel on board. Tom, you back with us, brother? Okay,
I'm
all
back.
Right, no doubt. All right, Brother Darryl, I just want to spend it to you, brother. How was your week, brother? I mean, you know, we spent it around the room. I know. We you chop it up, but you know,
brother,
some of the listeners, you know,
brother. Yeah, well, like I said, last Tuesday, this past Tuesday, I buried my mother. So, yeah, it has been a surreal week for me, for my family. But God doesn't make any mistakes.
No.
God decides it's time for us to come home. It's time for us to come home.
That's right.
So, I mean, there were tears shed. The amount of love and respect that my mother gained throughout her walk through her life, whether it be state folks, county folks, city folks, church folks. I mean, like you said, it was a long service because everybody had a lot to say.
It was the longest I've ever been, brother. Love you, but jeez.
Yeah, brother. Like I said, for my mother, I wouldn't care if it lasted another 6 hours. It was nice for everybody to come out and to share their feelings about my mom, and I definitely do appreciate it. It was, like I said, it's been a hard week. My daughters, I have one daughter still here. Two of my daughters have already left, and just dealing with family stuff, really, just trying to keep everything together, and then next week, you know, picking up the mantle and going back to work as usual, and just trying to make this whole thing pop off.
But once again, man, look, man, salute and prayers to you and your family. Much love. Your mother's a great woman, man. She's definitely shown at the funeral, man, represented. So much love going to her. And, of course, I have to spin around the panel. We have the one and only, Miss Signature Blacks. How was your week, young lady?
Oh, wow. First, Darryl, been down that road. I understand my prayers to you and your family. Your mom is definitely in a better place. Eddie, I spoke to you my heart's always with you. You guys are always in my prayers. I'm real sure you did an excellent job at that funeral, and I'm sure it gave you some closure. I want to say that God will put you where you're supposed to be, even if you're trying to run away. Yeah, because I played around with I'm going to apply for a receptionist job. Don't ask why. And I get there, and the guy knows me. He's like, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? Have you lost your mind? Did you bump your head? Long story short, he needs some legal advice, so I took his case. So I'm running away from what I do, but I was put right back there while I was just playing around with an idea. But you guys are great. I missed you guys last week, but it's understandable. Sometimes you got to step back.
That's true. That's true. Sometimes
you got to be forced to step back.
yeah, brother. Brother Eddie was there like, no, I can still go.
Other people are going to tell you, sit down, take a break. You need to take some me time. Yeah. And with Eddie, you have
to step back. He still wanted to go. I'm like, yo.
And I'm pretty sure that's the first thing I said. I said, Eddie wants to just keep going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny. Babe, that commercial is no longer on TV. The Energizer Bunny is taking a break.
Eddie still wanted to go. I'm like, Eddie, brother. Tell
him. I mean, this is a good show, man. This is a good show. This is the perfect show. Because, hey, this is going to be the perfect show for that. To just share my philosophies and my mindset around stuff like this. So it's good.
Yeah, I definitely. Well, with that, I mean, honestly, I did miss last week's show. I had people actually calling me at my job, like, "Oh, what happened last week? Oh, I'm sorry, tell everyone." You know, so there's people that was very interested in what's going on in the lives of us. So, to those who's tuning in, you know. And is following us, we really appreciate the support. We appreciate all the prayers and blessings that you send out to the family, Brother Darryl and Brother Eddie. I'm pretty sure it's well-received, and the Lord is definitely watching. With that being said, we're going to go to our first little music segment, and then after that, I really want to go into this topic of Can You Stand the Rain? Basically, how do we find peace through the pains that we go through? I think that Eddie and Brother Darryl and Brother Tom, I think you guys are perfect individuals, especially Sig, too. I'm pretty sure you can give some enlightenment, how we find it, because sometimes we don't have the answer. Sometimes you have to kind of look to people who's been through or gone through things, experiences, just, trying to gather the answers, if there is such answers. So if you guys don't mind, let's kind of go through a segment, 10 minutes, and let's come back and let's dive right into it.
Shadow,
Radio.
You know I love you,
right?
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no.
What I need is my baby. Yeah. Said built from the some ups and downs, baby, a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to me.
And it doesn't matter how long ever comes our way. You know,
no.
You and me, we gon' stay together.
That's right.
Baby, we've been through so much. Our love is so strong. You know,
you know.
Yeah.
realize what to do. It makes me lose my mind. I just wanna give to you,
give
make
you
love to you.
Love to you.
Put you on a rocket fly. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Yes, yes, yes. Put it all on me. Put it all on me. Once again, with us just tuning in, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. And it's yours truly, Mr. Naz. Mr. Naz, I think we had a little technical difficulty. Fig, if you got the call, baby, I need you to call right back in. We had a little quick little drop call. But well, once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. Yours truly, Mr. Naz. And this show is sponsored by the SoCo Cafe, located at 501 Central Avenue, Orange, New Jersey. We will be there next week talking to the lovely people, just getting to the topics, open dialogue. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting, you know. And this time we've made arrangements, and we will definitely have our brother Eddie at the spot, also broadcasting. You know, he can't be there physically, but he will be in the building. So with that being said, we're going to have fun next week. And big shout out to Brother Marcus, the owner, and his lovely wife. And, of course, can't forget about Velvet and the rest of the team over there. So, so we teach the brothers before they go. So, Brother Dow was having a little technical difficulty. That's actually home now. He'll be calling in shortly. However, let's get into this topic. This topic tonight is, can you stand the rain? How do we find peace, man, and through our pain? And maybe, hopefully, those who's listening, maybe we can help out some people that need some inspiration, need some, I don't know, I guess it's some advice, or maybe just hear someone else's, how they deal with situations, or deal with resolutions, if it may. So, let's spin around the room. Who wants to go first? Yeah, strong topic.
I'm very interested, you know, Tom, you know, what you do as well as far as the fight and the struggles that you fight for, you and along with the other brothers and sisters of the NAACP. How do we find, in your, I guess, your perception, how do you find peace and pain, man? I mean, just the adversity. I mean, because it's not like you're off.
You breaking up, man. You breaking up really bad.
You hear me, guys? Am I clear?
You're breaking
I
up.
I can hear you
bad.
Clear.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm
now,
sure
I hear everybody clear. I hear everybody clear right. Now.
I think we clear. Let me try to question again. Our apologies. Tom, you with us?
Yeah,
Tom's phone. Okay, brother. You want to go with Eddie first, or you want to kind of dive into this topic, brother? What do you think? What do you want to do? I'm not sure. Well, let's spin it around first. Eddie, you know, I think it's time for him. I'm not sure yet. But we'll get it right.
All right, Eddie. So let's go into the topic, man. Me personally, as far as dealing with, unfortunately, I have a hard head, so I kind of have to learn trial by error. Personally, I'm not sure if that's good. I'm not sure if it's bad. But however, it's something I got to deal with at times. So I kind of go. I deal with the situation. Let me see what. Let me see if somebody's. Everybody's clear?
I'm here.
We got a little reception issue here. I'm not sure who it is, but...
We'll give you a little back, please.
All right, exactly. So we're going to hold on talking. So, anyway, getting back to the subject. Me personally, I have to kind of learn how about Aaron in order to get things right as far as me to learn. And I'm not sure if that's good, but I'm really interested in your... How do you deal with the situation this week? How do you deal with adversity? Because you deal with a lot of stuff, man. Just your story alone is a story.
Well, I mean, first of all, I practice what I preach. So I got to start there, and that all comes from life experience. And what I mean by that is I am aware that my emotions are based on my thoughts and my perspective. So if I feel myself going in a place that I don't want to be, I immediately shift my perspective. I change the way I look at what it is, and I put it into a different perspective because I know that I dictate whether I'm happy, I dictate whether I'm sad, I dictate whether I'm mad, I dictate whether I'm whatever. Whatever emotion I'm feeling, it's based off of my accepted belief and thoughts about that situation. I take heed of that, and I make adjustments. As far as death is concerned, I know and understand that that's a part of life. That is just, it's inevitable. There's nothing that you can do about it. And I've seen many people who have gotten stuck in that rut of being sad to the point that they disregarded the fact that life still goes on. That person lived their life to its fullest or till its expiration date on this earth, and you are supposed to do the same thing. Your bills and stuff don't stop coming because your mom and dad died. Your children don't stop living because your mom and dad died. Your wife does not stop living. All your responsibilities do not disappear because your mom and dad died. I'm not saying that you disregard them. I'm saying that, another thing that I do is it's preventative as well because I am involved in the lives of those who I love all the time. I don't push them to the side. I don't neglect them. And what I find very often is it's those people who are screaming and hollering, take me, Lord, and just breaking down or whatever at funerals. More often than not, those are the people who were not there. It's like, where you been? Dad's been calling you for years, and I haven't seen you around. You've been pushing them to the side. I can't make this. I can't make that. And they find themselves regretting, and I have no regrets. So even up until the loss of my father to the prison system, it was a realization that I've gotten everything that I was supposed to get from my father, and I had no regrets because I utilized my time with him very wisely. I make sure that I'm in the lives of those who I love as much as possible to where I don't have any regrets. I've made it to all the games I could make it to. I've made it to all the recitals and stuff like that. As far as my children are concerned, I was always there for my wife. I didn't make her second or anything like that to anything outside of God. So I make sure I prioritize family accordingly, and I do what I feel I needed to, and I also shift my perspective when it comes to things that happen in life. I know I was just for instance, to give you an idea as to how I shift my train of thought. There was, during a session with the boys that I mentor, one of the boys said, what if you have a girlfriend that you see her, when you see her hugging on some other people, a guy or something like that, you get mad or frustrated, and she won't listen when you tell her not to do it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, let's analyze this. I said, well, first, I don't have a girlfriend. I have a wife. I said, and two, if I was to get all upset and frustrated about my wife hugging other guys, that means I have some security issues. It's not what she's doing. It's how I feel about what she's doing. And if I'm concerned that her hugs mean a little more than what I'm seeing them outside of just a hug or the term of endearment or whatever have you, especially at church or something like that, then for one, we have an issue in our relationship. Two, I have security issues, insecurity issues. And three, more than likely, I don't trust my wife or my girlfriend, and maybe, like I said, we have issues with our relationships. And three, I'm not doing my job as a man to the point where I'm comfortable with leaving her wherever she is. And I feel that my shoes can easily be filled. All comes back to me. You feel what I'm saying? I look at life this way. I said, this might come off as harsh, but I even feel that or hope that my wife feels the same way. If my wife was to leave me for some other guy, it might sting a little bit, but in the end, I'm going to look at it as her loss, not mine. Why? Okay. Because I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, I feel I'm supposed to do as a husband to show her love, compassion, care, respect, and all those things. So if she decides to go somewhere else because of, with me doing all that, that's her loss, and she's going to feel the pain from that once she starts realizing the other people that she has to deal with, how they're going to treat her in the end. I said, more than likely, if you're concerned about that young lady being so easy, that's probably why you got with her in the first place, because you felt she was easy. And if she was easy to get to you, then she's easy to get somebody else.
Good point.
And that's
good
how
point.
I ended it. It's the way I look at things that shift the way I feel about things, which in turn, I don't want to say protect me, because it's more enlightenment than it is me tricking myself. It's just the way that we look at things dictate how we feel. And because I know that, I catch myself before I get into a depression or a funk or anything like that. Definitely cried at this funeral, but every cry was tears of joy.
Well said, brother. Well said.
Definitely
well said. Brother Tom, I mean, you got listeners listening. Just from your perspective, how do you find peace, or I call it sanctuary, through, I guess, adversity or pain that you've been through?
You know, sometimes, just about to expose how much of a geek I can be sometimes, but I like to think about the fact that, you know, life is guaranteed to be short. It's never going to be long enough for anyone. And when you really stop and think about it, in terms of the universe, you know, we don't stand out much in terms of how long we're here and what we do. But what we can do is touch the top of lives of all those who are with us. And you end up in those situations where you're dealing with adversity, and you're dealing with people who don't respect you the way that, you know, you should respect every person. I like to think that you need to just take a second to say that life is short, and that person isn't going to be a part of the short time you have here, and you can move on to something better and do what you do and do it well. I like to think that if you focus on your strength, it doesn't matter what your weaknesses are.
Good point. Definitely good point. Now, I mean, glad you said that. I was going to ask that. Tom, can you add on top, because I just had a text from Brixley 911. He just commented on your comment right there. I don't mean to interject, but he has to get back to work. He says, how does a person, you know their strengths when they're so busy being down on themselves?
How does a person what?
How does a person understand their strengths if they never really understood, you know, what they're worth? You see what I'm saying? Because you have a lot of people with self-confidence issues. You really do. You have a lot of people with self-confidence issues that tries to, I guess, muster that you know, what's good about me. And that's when that depression kicks in. Or the thing you're going through, just like one day after another, you know, just constantly, you know, stuff coming. You know, how do you find that? I mean, how do you know your truth, but, you know, without someone actually announcing it to you?
You know, I have been through depression. I think I kicked it in the butt, but, you know, for me, it started off with just giving myself a pep rally every morning, just reminding myself, you know, I'm important, I'm worth something, I have a story to tell, I've got the strength in me to handle anything that life has to throw at me, charismatic, I've got everything it takes to succeed, now I just need to go out there and do it. And, you know, after saying that to myself so many times, now I'm at a point where I just wake up in the morning and I know that I can make it through anything this world has to throw at me. And there are times when life will try you. Life will test you. It'll come in the form of, you know, someone who you thought you loved who will turn around and stab you in the back. It'll come in the form of someone who decides that they're going to just start telling everyone things about you that just are not true. But at the end of the day, you know, your family, whether it's the chosen family or born family, you've got them, you've got yourself, you've got, you know, as long as you're honest with yourself, there's nothing that anyone can do to take you down.
Yeah, that's well said, brother. Well said. Well, very well said. I definitely want to spin around the stick. I think you said it's the problem with her line. We're going to bring her back online. I think the fact when you brought up just being honest with yourself, understanding yourself, I think it starts there. Because, you know, you can't really find a peace unless you find yourself. You got to find something in you that you can derive off of or draw from. I definitely think that. And personally, with my journey, I had to, you know, before I seek answers from somebody else or help someone else, what's the old cliche, you can't help anybody else unless you take care of your own house first, you know. So I looked at that as far as me as an individual. I said, you know what, I can't help you unless I help myself first, you know. And I kind of use the same analogy just in everyday life, you know. How can I be a better person for me so I can be a better person for my family, my kids, or my job, or my community, or the business that we're in, you know, a mentor or a community activist. I have to look at myself. I have to be accountable for myself. And I think that here at the Man Up Show, we are those type of people. We're accountable for our own actions. And I know you, myself, Daryl, Eddie, Sig, and you know, I know DeLacy. And, you know, I know that we're the type of men that, hey, look, we'll look in the mirror first before somebody else say, hey, look, check yourself. So that's why I find my peace when I deal with adversity. I say, you know, Wayne, look at yourself. What's going on with you first before I start going with the boo-hoo and all other crap? I mean, I look at myself. I'm going to bring Sig on now. She had a little problem on the line, but I think it's clear now. Sig, you good?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, it was your line. I had kind of got to go through the lines, but Sig, you know, we have another caller too, but I want to definitely hear what you had to say and how do you find peace through adversities or challenges and stuff. I mean, just from a woman's perspective, we have women listening, definitely.
Oh, then I'm sorry. I don't, I have to say I'm sorry because I don't process like normal females.
No,
I had to apologize. Because, okay, like for me, I lost my mom and my dad in my 20s. And so for me, it was, okay, we do this, we get through this, this is what we have to do. Everything becomes technical for me, and everything has to be, things have to be done. What I realized 20 years later was that I never grieved. I don't grieve appropriately. And it wasn't until I was in a live discussion group and we were watching a movie, then we had a discussion, and what I didn't know was that it was going to be about breast cancer. My mom died from breast cancer. And I'm sitting there watching the movie, and before the movie gets to the end, I am in tears. And this lady comes back and she goes, you suffered a loss, and apparently you didn't grieve. And it dawned on me, I never cried for my mom. I didn't cry for my dad. I don't cry or grieve when I should. And I learned that day that it's very important when you suffer a loss that regardless of your personality, how hard, how soft it is, you have to grieve for that person or you will not let go for real.
Good point.
It could hit you at a very inappropriate moment. I ended up grieving for my dad in the middle of court.
Wow.
And that turned out to be hilarious. I played it off, but I was grieving for my dad.
And it hits you hard, too, when it does.
It hit me. I mean, I was crying hard in court, and it blew everybody's mind because people were thinking, she can't even be nice. She can cry. And it turned out in my favor or whatever, and then they were like, what happened? I said, because the man sitting on that jury reminds me of my dad. But
wow. The
thing is, you have to go through your process. But what's important for everybody to understand and to know, no matter what your loss, no matter what your hardship, no matter what happened, what hurt you, you are not alone. Talk to somebody about your true feelings. If you do nothing but grab a stranger in the grocery store and unload on them.
Unload away.
Well said. I love that. See? You know, and before we take this call, I think you brought up a good point. I had to learn that same lesson. I was kind of notorious for holding my feelings and waiting to, what do you call it, like the tea kettle theory. You got the tea kettle and you're just boiling and boiling. You wait till you get the boiling point, so it's going over, literally. Because you never let it go. You never had an outlet. You never let it go. So I definitely can understand the part where you said learning how to grieve. It's just a lot for me. I crying, all that stuff, that's not manly, but, you know, at the end of the day, when I did that, I let it go, and I just kind of grieved where I need to grieve or not hold things in so much. It was a process, but it made me feel so much better. So
you get
I
to relax. Some part of you relaxes when you do.
Yeah, definitely. And I know I got a lot of men out there, so, man, I ain't with that, or they get mad, I can't stand this. When you see a child, and maybe he seems a tribute to a parent or somebody else, that you see a child grieving over maybe lost a toy or something like that, let the kid, grieve a little bit, and then talk to them, working through it, you're teaching them how to grieve. And I didn't learn that until I got older. So I utilize that with my children so they understand how to, okay, let's deal with it. Sad, I understand you're sad, respect your sadness, let's go forward. But they understood that. So with that being said, I'm going to take this caller. Let me see who we have here.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the Meta Plus Show. Who we have online?
My name is Stanley. I'm calling all the way from Montreal, Canada. Great show.
Oh, thank you, brother.
I'm definitely going to listen to your show more often every day. I appreciate what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying and everything. For me, as a black man and everything, how do I deal with conflict and things like that? First of all, like you keep on saying, it has to do with loving yourself first. That's the first thing I remember my mom and my father, that's the first lesson they told me, that you got to love yourself first before anybody else in this world. That's the first lesson. And they always told me, take 100% responsibility for every choices you make in your life. Everyone, good or bad. Don't blame it to other people. Don't blame it to this. Don't say it this and that. And that's what brought me to when I do things, either good or bad, and every time I could look myself in the mirror and say, what did I do to bring that situation?
Okay.
And another expression that my mom always told me is, nobody could hurt you in this world without your permission, Stanley. Nobody.
That's right.
Nobody has that power. You decide.
That's right.
Whatever perception you have in your life, you decide what happens.
Earlier.
Something that could be bad for you, that you think is bad, could be a victory.
That's right.
In my life, I've owned business. I've learned. I've lost money because I've owned a business. But owning a business and losing it all was the best lesson ever, because the lesson I learned from owning that business and losing it all made me see, this is what I need to do next time. Now next business I own, I know exactly what I have to do because I had to go through the experience. And those are the things like that I see that people need to do. People need to really look at themselves and stop trying to please everybody. Everybody's trying to please everybody else, thinking about everybody else, but not thinking about themselves first. You came to this world as a winner in this world. We're all winners in this world. We had more chance of being in this world. Well, like my mom told me many stories. She's a biologist. She's a doctor. She told me if you study biology, you know how lucky you are of coming
how
in this world?
How many sperms you had to fight to?
Yeah, you had one chance out of a million to be the winner. You were the winner of the race of life. You were the winner of the race of life. You had millions of people fighting for the same race. And who won? You did.
You know, I love that. That reminds me. Yeah, there's two quotes that the first one was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yeah.
No one can make you feel bad without your permission first.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and then Dr. King, who said a man can't ride your back unless it's bent.
And I think the problem with a lot of people is that they want to live so much for other people, but they forget to live them for themselves. Live the best life that you need to do. Bring the best of your life, and other people will see it. I don't care about my reputation, like my mom told me. Don't care about your reputation. Be a person of a character, because reputation is something that you don't control, but character is something you always control.
That's good. And I agree with you. That's what I was saying earlier. And honestly, I personally don't think that people realize that. We don't understand, and that's why I do this teaching. When I do teach companies and have my sessions and stuff, people don't understand how the brain and the mind work. And like you said, you determine how you feel. It's a decision that you make. And oftentimes, you know, we hear it all the time. She made me mad. No.
Exactly.
No. You accepted that situation and created the feeling that you got from it. It's a decision that you make. You control that. Other people don't. And the thing about it is, and where people don't realize, is you lose power when you give it to someone else. Because if you say she made
good
you
point.
Mad, the only way that you can get better is if she makes you better. But if
exactly.
you realize that you controlled that anger, you're the one that caused your sadness, happiness, or anything like that, you know that
that's
because
right,
you created that, you can change that. But once you
exactly.
give that to someone else and make it seem like they're the ones that control it, it's not until they make that change or that shift that you will get to the place that you want to be. And that's why a lot of people are so depressed. My father, he's gone, and if I would have been this way, if my mom was around, I would have been this way if my father was there. That means, if you conclude that, that means it's not until they come back or it's not until they do what you felt that you were missing that caused you to be who you are that you can be who you want to be. And that's because
exactly.
you didn't take responsibility of it. So it's not until you understand your mind, like, I teach this all the time. I'll make everybody be quiet. I mean, close your eyes. And then I'm like, okay, don't think of an elephant. And they'll start smiling because it's the first thing you thought about. Or don't think of the color blue, and they'll think of the color blue because our minds can't not do. Our minds can only do. Our minds, we're made in the image of God. So our minds can only create. It can't not create. It can only create. So when you tell yourself, I don't want to get fat. Your mind says get fat, and you start doing the things that causes you to get fat. All right, I got one for the fellas. I don't want to come. Guess what you're about to do? you're about to come because your mind can't not do. It can only do. So you need to tell it what you want it to do. I want to be happy. You'll start being happy. You can't say I don't want to be sad because your mind says be sad. You can't close your eyes and say don't be sad. You're going to think of sad things. It only creates. So you have to start training your mind to do what you say. That's why they say, you know, your words are powerful. So what you're saying to yourself is what you're producing. And we look around, and you look around and then start thinking about what it is that you're saying. You'll get it. I don't want these bills. You're getting those bills. It's what you say that comes to fruition. So
I agree.
You got to be cognizant of your mind and what your thoughts are and what you say because you produce what you say.
But
a mind can't not do. It can't not do. It can only do. It can only create.
Thank you.
Well said, brother. Definitely well said. I mean, just going forward, I mean, I'm sorry, brother. I'm from Canada. What's your name again, brother?
My name is Stanley.
Stanley, listen, man, you're more than welcome to call in anytime.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely encourage you, brother, to call in, be part of the show and what we're doing, man. Do you have any specific questions? Because, you know, this is the next segment.
No, the only question I wish I have all those thoughts and I have the same thought as many of you guys and everything. The thing I want, the question I would ask is, how can I make a difference? Yeah, of course, I could encourage other people. I could help them out. I take very much personal responsibility, and I try to give example by the things that I do in my life and everything. But how do we bring that mindset to a lot of men of basically taking responsibility, having high self-esteem up there, not basically going to basically being influenced by friends and things like that, but look at themselves and say, if you make that choice, assume it and do something about it. If you make any choice, bad or good, assume it. Don't blame it on other people. And that mentality, I don't see it. I see more mentality that we live in a society that we're victims. People are being victimless. It's this fault. It's her fault. It's anybody's fault. But never look at themselves. And the question I want to ask, how do we go back to saying to people, own it? Where's your ownership? Where's your accountability? Where do we go back as that as black people? Because we used to be like that. We're not anymore.
Well, the first thing is, You've taken the first step. For one, you've done it for yourself, which means it's not enough to just do it. You need to understand how you did it. Why do you need to understand how you did it? Because that's the only way you can duplicate it and teach others how to do it. So you need to figure out and understand how you did it or got to your point. And then from that, you need to duplicate that through giving back. Like, for one, this is a platform just for what you just said, this radio station. A lot of us do mentoring. I mentor young men 11 through 18 years of age every week on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. And I give back, and I live my life the way that I give back and I teach. So through my actions, people are seeing it. Then I'm teaching them what it is that I'm doing. So they're seeing it and they're understanding it because I'm teaching. Because the way that this is how I duplicate stuff. This is how I teach my children. This is how I teach anybody that I'm coaching. And this is how I teach my wife, anybody. The way I go is I do, I teach, you watch. Then it's I do, I teach, you help. Then it's I do, you help, I teach. Then it's you do, I teach, I help. Then it's you do, you teach, I help. And then by the time we get there, I can just watch you because you've got it. You got it from the beginning. You feel what I'm saying? But a lot of times we just tell people to do stuff and they don't grasp the concept or understanding, and that bothers me because I see it all the time. You have people with raw talent, and that's why, you know, sometimes you have people that are great in, like, whether in basketball or football or whatever, and then they become a coach, but they can't teach it because they have raw talent. They didn't really understand what they did or how they did what they did. They just had raw talent. But it's a person that can methodically break down what it is that they did to get the results that they got that can duplicate. A lot of people can't duplicate what they've done because they just have the raw talent. They don't really understand what they're doing. But to be cognizant of what it is that you're doing and understanding it, that's what makes you powerful, and that's what makes you a leader, and that's what makes you able to duplicate yourself and others and then create a movement.
Okay.
Thus,
the
Man Up movement.
That's a great answer.
Now, I want to spin it to Tom, because I definitely want to hear from the panel on answering Stanley's question. Tom, what is it, you know, to answer Stanley's question, you know, what is it that you see that we can also do?
Well, I think one of the things that all of us here do is that, you know, we believe that other people can learn the same things that we do. You know, there seems to be, and I think it's because I deal with politicians a little too much, there seems to be this mood where people want to keep things to themselves that are that should be shared, talents and skills and life lessons. And as soon as you start sharing those with people and giving them their own power, then we can all sort of uplift each other. But as long as we're kind of keeping it to ourselves, our stories of our personal strength, of how we dealt with something, as long as we keep that to ourselves, it doesn't do anyone any good. You know, no one is going through the same thing. Going to know how you made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like we need to be willing to share, you know, what may have been a tough time for us or and how we got out of it, instead of keeping it locked up.
There you go. It sounds good to me. Sister Sig, so far you heard Brother Stanley and the question he posed, Eddie's response, and now Tom's response. What is your response, you know, what Stanley is that inquired about?
I agree with what Tom and Eddie said wholeheartedly. We have to share our gifts. And for me, it's about your daily walk. You know, I mentor kids as well. But even if I go to the gym or if I go to the store, I'll talk to anybody. And I'm constantly talking. I'm constantly sharing. And I'm one of those people who, if somebody looks like they're down, I don't have to know them, but I'm going to ask them what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get them to engage in a conversation, and that becomes a teaching moment. And it becomes a learning moment, because when you share with other
mm-hmm.
people and they share with you, you gain something for yourself
That's
as
right.
well. So in your daily walk and everything that you do, the way you are should show. I mean, if you want to share this, you want to share this gift, you want to make people aware about the being responsible. And Stanley, I agree with you. People do not take responsibility for what they do. I tell my kids and the kids that I mentor all the time, do not come to me with what everybody else did or what happened, and you're not telling me what you did. I need to know what you did, and that's all I need to address. We need to take care of your actions, and then everything else will work itself out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's important, that, you know, just in your daily walk in life, you just share. And if you're, Stanley, you seem to be that type of person that will just talk to anybody as well. Just talk to people. It's so much fun talking to strangers. You will learn the most amazing things about life, them, and yourself.
That's definitely great stuff. You know, just my little two cents in there. I'd agree with the board as far as leading by example, sharing. You know, because the only way you can only help someone else is by sharing your experiences, sharing your resolution. Because, you know, that's why, you know, I asked all the, you know, people on the panel give their input, because, you know, one solution may not be what, you know, may work for you. Another person's solution, like, you know what, or it can be a combination of things. And that's just sharing information. I think that's the most essential part here. When you're able to share, just talk. Sometimes just saying good morning may make someone's day, or, hey, how are you feeling? That may mean a lot to a lot of people. I mean, hey, you know, I'm okay. Just to know that someone is listening and actually cares, that goes far. And on me personally, I see somebody's down, you know, I'm at work, or, hey, how you doing? Good morning. You'd be surprised just the response alone. And then, you know, just sharing that part of it, you know, and being accountable. I mean, you got to care about people. I mean, at the day, because, you know, you can't be about just you or something like that, being kind of your action. You got to care about people and for people to be receptive to you as well. So, I mean, that's just my two cents on it, Brother Stanley, you know. I really, really enjoy that you called in, brother. I enjoy that you had an opportunity to listen and ask questions, man. You feel free to call in. You know, every Friday we do the Man of Talk show. We definitely encourage you, brother, and we appreciate you, definitely.
And I appreciate the answer that I got in here. I appreciate every answer was great and everything. I appreciate what you're doing. Please continue what you're doing. I'm definitely going to listen in a little more. We need more things like that as black people. We need to listen to what you're saying. And I really appreciate the experience that you're giving to us. Thank you very much.
Hey, brother.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Stanley. You too, brother. Thank you. Again, Brother Stanley calling us from Canada, you know, on the second. With that being said, you know, we're going to go to another music segment, but when we come back, I kind of want to go into something deep, and I think, Eddie, this may be a specialty. Tom, feel free to add in. We're going to talk about relationships in Can't Stand the Rain, because you around this time, you got a lot of things that goes on. You got the holidays going on. You got a lot of loved ones. I'm talking about personal relationships, broken relationships, you know, depression, suicide. It kicks in because you don't have the loved one around you, because originally the show was about mental health. But I just think it spins and it goes right into the topic, because right now you got a lot of people in pain around the holidays. They don't have a loved one around. They don't have a, you know, a woman maybe looking for a husband, or a man trying to find a spouse or something like that. You know, they come home alone. It's just a lot of things, you know, in relationship-wise. Or they may have lost a wife or a husband or whatever. How do we talk to those people? How do we get them encouraged to, hey, look, there's a big world. There's more fish out there. How do we get back at them? How do we prevent them from doing something stupid? You know, around this time, right here and now, I believe the suicide percentage is more high than others. I'm pretty sure Zig and Brother Dow, we're going to delve into that and put it on Facebook as far as the percentage-wise. But there's a lot of depression, a lot of suicides that go on around this time of year. And we just want to talk to those people. You know, God is good and God is listening. You got family, you have friends, you have a stranger, you never know. That person can be there for you to help you out. It could be a true blessing. So with that being said, let's go to the music segment, 10 minutes. Let's go back, you know, come back and dig into that. Is it okay with you guys?
Great.
We'll be here.
No doubt. Baby,
Shadow,
I just gotta know that you're loving too.
Yeah. one more day.
And just one more day. Once again, welcome to the Man of Talk Show. Yours truly, Mr. Nash. We got on the panel this evening, we have the one and only Brother Edward L. Fairley, Brother Tom Reynolds, and Miss Signature Black, and our Brother Dow. He still handles some business. And Brother Big Dow Harrington. Big shout out, of course, to the rest of the family. Can't forget about the one and only Delancey Davis. Big shout out to him. And, of course, can't forget about my brother, Asan Black, and of course all those who tune in and check us out. We love you. We appreciate the support. You know, as we continue on with the subject. The subject is tonight: can you stand the rain? How do you find, I guess, the peace through the pain? I think we left off with the fact that we're going to kind of dive into relationships. You know, there's a lot of broken relationships. You have you know, that, oh, I can't live without him, I can't live without her syndrome going on. I think it was kind of a perfect segue. And Brother Eddie, you know, he kind of said it kind of cold, but he got in it. He got into, look, you know, he leave me, is what it is. It's her heart. You know, he found love with himself, and that was kind of something he left off on. And I'm pretty sure people on the panel got this, you know, tuning in, because I think everybody at some point had that relationship. Be like, damn, I don't believe she's not with me no more. How am I going to deal with this, you know? Or he's not with me. You know, F him or F her or whatever. How do you deal with your pain?
How do we
dive into that for me? You know, Brother Eddie and Tom and Sig. So let's just jump right into it.
So what's the actual question? That was a lot. I mean.
Yeah, all right. How do we, all right, relationships. How do we, someone has a bad relationship. They can't shake it. This person, oh, woe is me. I can live without her, live without him. I mean, how do you find peace? You got 10 years in. Let's just say 10 years. We'll start with the older folks. Then we'll break it down to the younger folks. You know, a lot of time put in, husband, wives, girlfriend, or fiance, however you want to put it. For whatever reason, that person woke up and said, whew, I'm done. I'm out. You don't even ever see where it came from. You did everything you're supposed to do. How do you find that? I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, there's a lot of things that you just said, but I'm just going to tack it how I hear it. One, if you've been there for 10 years and you ain't see it coming, that's why it happened, because you wasn't paying attention. You ain't no just blindsided. I'm sorry. I'm just keeping it. I'm just sorry. You can't just keep blind.
That hurts.
I mean, come on, Nas. You know I'm not going to try to sugarcoat anything. As far as the I can't live without you stuff. That just gets on my nerves. I almost cursed. But
let me help you, damn nerves.
because this is why I'm adamant. When I do my coaching, relationship coaching and stuff like that, I do not allow, I can't stand to hear, it makes me cringe when people say, my other half, how's your other half doing? That's implying that you're not whole without someone else. You should come into a relationship always a whole person before you get with that person. Now, you guys should be able to compliment each other, you all were talking about earlier, not having having your weaknesses and stuff like that, which you can also work on your weaknesses too, but at the same time, you should have the basics. You should not be coming to someone and trying to find a wife that can cook and stuff. You should know how to cook your damn self. You should know how to wash clothes and all that stuff before you find someone. You should not be finding someone to do the things that you can't do. You should already be able to take care of the basics. You should be able to pay your own bills. You should be able to do all that stuff yourself. You should not be trying to find someone to help you with where you're coming short. So let's start there. You should be whole. Now, far as the whole I can't live without you mess, this is where this is how I respond to stuff like this. Prior to, I mean, when we hear about, we think about, well, we don't really think about it, but it's just the reality of it is prior to cell phones, we had pagers, right? We went to, we went to, we had pagers or two-way pagers or whatever, and we went to a phone, hey, I don't even know, a phone booth or something like that to call to see who called, who paged us or whatever. Before that, we didn't have that. And before we had GPS, we had to remember the daggone directions that we wrote down before we left to get to somebody else's house or whatever. And then we just had these luxuries and stuff added. But before we had all the luxuries, we were fine. Before we had a microwave, we heated our food up in the oven, right? We were fine. So I say all that to say this. For you to say you can't live with somebody, that's BS, because you lived with them before you met them. You were fine before you met them, before you got that new luxury or whatever that you just supposedly lost. You were fine without them. So that's evidence in itself that you can live without them. You are fine without them. You might have been better off if you really sat down and thought about it prior to having them. Because I mean, if you really think about it, and I had to come to check myself like 3 years ago. Like, cell phones are great, but I just realized like 3 years ago, I'm good now, that I didn't even know my wife's cell phone number. Why? Because I just put in my phone. My phone broke. I went to the cell phone service. I had to use her cell phone, and they were like, "Well, when your phone gets back, what's the number to call?" And I'm like, "Dang, what number do you call?" You know, because I go to my phone. I would go to my phone and press wife and talk. I never sat down and learned my wife's cell phone. Back in the day, we were all walking Rolodexes. Oh, you need such and such number? That's such that's 757, such, you know. But a lot of things that we think are great actually cause us to be worse off, and we need to be cognizant of that. And all I'm saying is we got to get it. Like, it's always a shift in your mindset with me. I'll make you change your perspective real quick, and you'll either accept it or just decide that you want it to be in the state that you're in, and you just have to eventually work your way out of it. But you can live without anybody. First, and that's the first thing I thought of. You're either going to lose, that's inevitable in itself too. You're either going to lose your mate through divorce or death. The two D's.
True.
It's going to happen.
True.
So what are you going to do? If they die, do you stop eating because you can't cook? If they die, do you stop cleaning because you can't clean? You need to know how to do all that stuff yourself. You need to be whole before, you got to have yourself together before you can even be something good for somebody. Matter of fact, if you're not, that's probably why they're leaving you too. You got the fact that you don't recognize stuff since it sidelined you. We've been together for 10 years. I didn't see this coming. You didn't notice no signs. That's the problem right there. And two, you probably weren't contributing anything to the relationship. So, I mean, it's up to you.
That's cold-blooded, brother.
No, that's reality, man.
I hear you. I see you, my brother. Brother Darryl online, Brother Darryl Harrington, you good?
Yes, sir. I am great. I'm a good.
Oh man, Eddie done did a he done pulled the band-aid
just off
the head.
Somebody cut off. I don't know whose head went rolling down the
street. Ripped it off like, listen, man. Let's just rip this damn thing off. Just rip it off.
It's
hair and everything.
It's a hypothetical person.
Is it?
It's a hypothetical person.
The whole nine yards. Somebody's head just went rolling down the street. So he was
a hypothetical person, man.
So brother, you know, I can't say this is my better half no more, because now you got to be reevaluating his term again.
You know, like when you go to the barber, you tell the barber, yo, I just want to take a little off the top. Next.
There you go. I know Sid got something to say about this. I'm listening, Sid.
All right, I want to hear the Sid, because I know Sid can go in.
You know what? I got into an argument about this. What do you mean he's got the better half? He's not my better half. He compliments me. He doesn't complete me. God completed me. There is no completion to me. He's a whole 14 inches taller than me. There is no completing somebody 5'2". I'm done. Seriously. ASAP. Oh, my God, my better half. Okay, this is why I'm not normal. All the breakups I ever had, I think I cried once. And I really think that's because I gave up a car to get rid of that fool. Not real sure.
Oh, damn.
Damn.
I did. I gave up a car. But, seriously, in relationships, the key thing is to communicate. You have to have open, honest communication. And you have to not be so arrogant as to think everything about you is still peachy keen with them as it was when you first met them. I do little relationship checks because I got issues. So
yeah,
I have to make sure he understands that my crazy is still there. And it might have gotten just a little bit worse. I have to check in all the time. You've got to keep the line of communications open in your relationship. I agree with Eddie. If your relationship falls apart and 10 years down the damn road, your dumbass did not see it coming. Shoot yourself. You knew it was coming. You have that damn intuition, and if you want to play that back in the day, oh, men are going to be meant bullshit. You knew he was doing Boomseeker because you weren't doing jack what you were supposed to do. You knew one day Boomseeker was going to come up, win a lotto, and he was going to leave you. Don't be surprised. You need to go to Boomseeker to get a husband finder's fee because he just took your man. Acting like you didn't know she wasn't happy. You knew she wasn't happy. She stopped sleeping in the same room with you, fool. You knew she wasn't happy because she didn't cook for you anymore. And when she did cook, she cooked what she liked. You know your athlete. No. She changed her whole lifestyle. She started wearing sexier clothes. She started going to the gym. Ray Ray stole your girl.
Not Ray Ray. Not Ray Ray.
Ray Ray is my guy. Boomseeker is my girl.
Ray Ray.
Ray girl. You've got to keep the line of communication open before you get to that point where, you know, the little things that you thought was cute, you know, about them, and then suddenly you can't stand them breathing. Before you get to the point where you can't stand them breathing, like the day before, y'all need to have a conversation. You know what? You're really getting on my nerves. Let me tell you why. This is not a funny moment. Gotta tell them. I can't stand the sight of you.
You got to go a little deeper into what, because that's a broad statement, open communication. There shouldn't be anything y'all can't talk about. And you have to be mindful.
Thank you.
And I teach this with your children, too. Children and your mate. Matter of fact, it's very close. It's very similar in the, as far as the relationship is concerned. We can talk about it some other time. But you need to be mindful of how you respond to stuff that's said or shared to you by your mate.
Thank you.
Because if you respond in a manner that makes them feel uncomfortable about sharing, that's the last thing they're going to share with you. that's personal.
Say that loud and clear.
Communication from the jump. If what I say to you today, getting on your nerves, we should have gotten on your nerves 10 years ago because I haven't changed.
Yeah.
I'm going to be bam in your face with it. So
what it all boils down to is, this is how I put it. You tell your friends everything. I mean, everything. Your friends know all your stuff. Some of your barbers know all your stuff. You either need to be friends first or they barber first. So that y'all's relationship can be built on that, because those are the people that you share everything with. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't friends with their mates. They're just their mates. And that's what causes the issues. My wife is my best friend. She knows my weaknesses. She knows my strengths. She knows everything. And all those, like, uncomfortable, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I feel comfortable sharing, but she doesn't make me, it's uncomfortable for me to share it, not because she made me feel uncomfortable about hearing it. It's just like, ugh. Well,
I'm going to
tell her anyway, though.
But see, I like the way Boris Cujo said it. He said he took his wife off the market, so now he got to be her lover, her boyfriend, her everything. He's got to do all that for her. He's got to be her friend. If we can't be friends because I can't hold water, we can't be in a relationship. Because if it happens in general conversation, I'm going to be like, you won't believe what I did today. I can't help myself. So you have to be able to my open communication, that's why it's broad to me. It's open. I saw this guy today. Oh, my God, I about lost my mind. I'm telling it because I don't have good sense.
and that's what I'm
saying.
So
if somebody say, you know, see, da-da-da, he go, yeah, I know, that's how she is. That's how she is.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
no secrets. I can't have any secrets about me if I'm going to share my life with somebody. I can't have secrets about me. I can't let them find out, oh, my God, her crazy is real. He needs to know from the jump, my crazy is real.
And you know what? That's what I mean by, like, you have to watch how you respond to your mates when they share stuff with you, too. And another thing, I hate to break this truth to you, people who are listening, if you don't like who your mate hangs out with, and when I say hang out with, they always want to be around them. Oh, we going to the club, we going to do this. If you don't like that person, and for whatever reason you don't like them, that's who your mate really is. That's how they really are. If I can't stand when he go out with such and such, he's such a dog, he's a pervert, he's trifling, that's really how your man is, and that's why he always wants to hang out with him, because that's why he don't want to be around you. He really want to be around him so that he could be his normal self. And I stress that to you. And unfortunately, it's your fault. If they don't feel like they can be normal around you and they got to get away from you to be normal, it's because you did not create an environment that made them feel comfortable with being their normal selves around you. So I'm just saying, be cognizant. If you hate their friends, And I'm stressing that, and I'm not saying that they're cousin. Oh, I'm just gonna go out with my cousin. It's his birthday. I'm gonna go. I'm saying somebody that they intensely hang out with all the time. I can't stand him. I don't like him. I know he's trifling. I know how he treats women. Your man or your girlfriend or your wife, they are just like them. That's why they like being around them, hanging around them. There's a difference between just somebody that's their acquaintance and somebody that they hang with. They hang with people that they relate to. And that's what it is. So, I mean, if you hate them, you hate your man. If you hate her, you hate your woman. Because that's what they really are.
Ray Dow, I know you got some chime in on this one, bro.
Here you go. All right. In a relationship with somebody. All right, you got to take the good with the bad. You can't have a Pollyanna's rose-colored glasses look, that her shit don't stink and neither does yours. You have to pretty much, when you get through that, that first initial infatuation stage, when y'all really starting to get to the real of it, to get to the root of it, and there you go, cheap plug. When you start to get there, you have to understand exactly who this person is. And you have to be able to love that person for who they are, faults and all. But you can't go to the fact where you just, because, like, what you think is cute year one will piss you the fuck off year five and cause you a prison. So you prevent you from going there in year five. Seven, before you be doing 5 to 10, you need to understand, where you stand. What you willing to put up with, what you ain't willing to put up with. What you looking for, what you need, and what you require. Not necessarily, you can find yourself a good girl, or you can find yourself a good dude, but they just don't give you what you require in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Some
mm-hmm.
people require different shit. Some people need somebody to be more economically sound in a relationship. Look, you better got your end, because look here, I ain't carrying not a motherfucker. That could be your thing. You know,
geez.
Point blank. You know, look here, understand, when I come home, I expect to smell the aroma of some food coming out the kitchen. I ain't expecting nothing out of my house like disturbed. I'm looking for blah, 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 blah. Maybe that's how you roll. Whatever way you roll, you need to find somebody who is naturally. Key word
exactly.
here is naturally.
That's right. That's good.
You know, that person.
That's good.
Not that
that's
person
good.
That has to adjust or adapt.
That's good.
To what
that's point. Really good.
You need to find somebody who actually is that way. Who, you know, y'all going in the door, y'all understand what the other one is expecting. Point blank. Now, when you got that, then you can start to double down on your best.
Let me, and like give you an example of what he's saying, and which makes this dumb. And I see people do it all the time. It is dumb for you to find a woman you don't want to be in the club at the club because that is her normal place.
Edward, say that again.
That's what she likes to be. So
Edward, say
that
again.
To find or look. So if you want a wife that you don't want to be in the club, why the hell would you go to the club to find your wife? People are usually at their normal place of being. If you're just gonna catch them randomly, now randomly you might find somebody that you might slip, you might get lucky. And you should play the lottery that night. You might get lucky, but you'll be able to tell, though. You'll be able to tell, and what I'm saying, I'll explain. You might get lucky and find that person that might be like you. I just came to support my friend or my cousin who said he wanted to have his, what you call it. And you can tell they don't seem really comfortable in that environment. But if the person is like, hey, Keisha, you want the regular?
Right,
and they call me by name and all that stuff like that. And that is their natural habitat. You're not going to take that person, or you shouldn't. It doesn't make sense to take that person out of their habitat and then try to make them, make them whatever you're trying to make. It's just like, you know, Chris Rock. He said it best. He said that tiger didn't go crazy when he mauled the person. The tiger went crazy when he was riding on a bicycle with a clown hat saying, I'm a tiger. It's when it's doing abnormal stuff that makes the person crazy. So don't try to take them out of their natural habitat and then train them to do something else. You should find someone that fits what you're looking for. So that's what I mean by that. That is, I don't understand why people do that. You want a man that is gonna that's good at fixing stuff up? Take your behind the home people. And find somebody that you run across that's fixing stuff. Why are you looking for a dude that I don't like my hands dirty, don't be touching.
Right.
They don't want to touch nothing, whatever. Why are you looking for somebody like that? Then you get mad. He's not like that. I can't stand. He doesn't want to do nothing in the house. That's not him. So, but yeah. But, oh, let me add. I'm sorry. There are going to be things that you have to go through that are tests to see or check your growth when it comes to relationships. You can't, and people tell me, I'm patient. You can't know you're patient until you go through something that tests whether you're patient.
True.
You can't know that you're ride or die chick until y'all go through something
right.
that proves that she's a ride or die chick. So don't always look at stuff as if it's so terrible, as opposed to checking to see where you are in your relationship. Maybe that person's not for you. Maybe you don't really love them as much as you thought they would. You know, people they don't hear that worst part of the daggone vows. They never hear that part. They always hear the better part. They never hear the worst part. And they be ready to go when the worst comes. So just be cognizant of that, and it's something that helps you grow, and it also helps you if you're testing yourself against it to see where you are in life and to see what you need to work on, because we should always be examining ourselves all the time. Every day I wake up, I say to myself, I say, every day in every way I'm getting better and better. Every day in every day in every way I'm getting better and better. That's my mantra. That's what I say to myself, and that's why I intentionally do in hopes that every day I'm getting better. I don't want to be the same thing I was yesterday. I'm depressed. I literally accept depression if I feel that I didn't grow or learn something new this day. So every day in every way I'm getting better and better, and that's my mantra, and that's what I try to be. But I can't know that if I'm not questioning myself and examining myself to see where I was. So
right.
That's it.
Very true.
Well said, brother. Well said. Brother Dow.
Sure.
Brother Tom, I didn't get a chance to hear you chime in on what Brother Ed had to say. I know we got a caller online now. I definitely want to hear what you have to say on that, what pertains to what Eddie just responded to. Brother Tom? I guess he's doing it online.
Well,
Brother Dow.
Yes, sir.
Oh, right. I think you got a call.
Well, like I said, okay, let me just go back to, I mean, like I said, Eddie was feeding off me and I'm feeding off of him. the bottom line is this, like, you know, he's right. You know, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. That's just the bottom line. You know, come at it.
He holds you up there real quick. We have a call online. I'm going to take this call. They have a question. Can I bring him in real quick?
Yeah, please. That's what
we're
here for. I'm loving this. I'm loving the
calls. Hey, hello. You're on the Men Up Talk Show. Welcome to the show. Who we have online?
What's going on? This is Classy in Atlanta.
What's going on, brother? How you doing? Thank you for calling into the show. What's your take on the topic, man?
I just wanted to take 30 seconds to say something real quick and then see what you all, what you gentlemen think about it. I ain't going to take up a bunch of your time. But my perception of this, having listened to you guys, and this has been my perception for some time, with this feminization of dudes, unfortunately, my outlook is that a lot of guys, unfortunately, are suffering from the I gotta win syndrome. It used to be a time where somebody gave you some game or some understanding of females, and therefore you developed a mouthpiece. Now a mouthpiece has been replaced with just a good job. You're still a nerd. You're still a sucker. You just have a good job, and you think you pimping. So what we're running into now is a lot of people whining about things that if they had a mouthpiece, it wouldn't even be a factor. The other thing is that when it comes to ladies have done the reverse of what men used to do back in the 1700s. Now, because ladies are making capital, they believe I am so now more valid than what I was when I didn't have nothing. No, you're still the same chick. Because as we all know, money don't define you. Money makes you a bigger you than what you were at first. If you was a big scrub, then now you're a rich scrub. It makes no difference. So my point to the table and the question really is, it's going to be hard for people now in our culture to link up because the dudes are turning into females, no matter how much money they make, and the females are turning into arrogant dudes. Then when one of us messes with somebody of a different culture, you know these different cultures don't take this BS that a lot of us juggle and deal with, so we got to come a little bit more correct because we're dealing with their family and their family structure, which go back decades, what have you. So that's my belief on everything that you guys are saying. We just unfortunately dealing with some dudes who they not used to losing, you know, but they suckers at heart anyway. And, you know, and you got some women who they expect everything to bow down to them because they're making a little bit of change.
Gentlemen,
yes, sir.
What do you think? What do we think? Let's go.
Well, here you go. All right. A mouse, even if it's raised by a lion, is a mouse. It's not going to really change what he is. There are some dudes who are alpha and some dudes who aren't. It's just life. Some guys got it, some guys don't. But that's always been the case. Now, I mean, I think it's more, let's say, profound, and it's more it's more seen and acknowledged based upon technology and things of that nature, where we're exposed to more people and we're exposed to more ways of life. I mean, our little universe has expanded quadruple fold since just the explosion of the internet, where we have this forum that we are on right now tonight, where we have knowledge of other people's ideologies and theologies and their thoughts on all sorts of topics and ways of life. So, yeah, there are dudes out there who are, you know, weak and just still on the Similac. Absolutely. And there are some dudes who, you know, got it. And, you know, you call them old souls or whatever you want to call them, you know, that, you know, hold it down, hold theirs down, and, you know, do what they do. You know, it's just an individual thing. And he's right about the females, though. A lot of females, you know, because this is the best that they've ever had it. Like, right now, it's the best time to be a woman in the history of womandom. Because right now, like I say, the money is flowing. Like I said, we press upon, and we have pressed upon for the last few decades, that we want our baby girls to, you know, go to school, get an education, you know, make something of their lives. But we haven't put that same onus on our boys. This is a societal trap, in my opinion, to separate and to break down the black home. That's a different topic for a different show. But it is the reality, where you have more brothers in the criminal justice system than you have in a secondary education system. You have more sisters who are getting their masters than you have brothers just getting associates and bachelors. That's just the truth. And then we have the river divide economically, where my girl is bringing home $90,000 and dude is only bringing home $30,000. Yeah, it does make one a little bit more cocky from the standpoint of, how you going to tell me what to do with my yayo when I'm the one that's bringing home the cheddar? Yeah, that does happen. But money does not define what a man is and what a woman is. Basically, like I said, it depends on where you're coming from, how you were raised. Like me personally, I follow biblical principles. Me personally, my idea of what a man is based on biblical principle. My idea of what a woman is based off of biblical principle. It's what I've seen from my family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, et cetera, et cetera. It's what I look for in my lady. It's what I have in my lady. My lady's had the same examples in her life, for which we're simpatico. Not necessarily everybody on that same wavelength, though. But, yeah, I mean, I do give credence to what the brother is saying, but I think that it's been a very well-laid plot that is that's taken, like, over 30 to 40 years to marinate and to mature into the situation that we're in now. Hence, one of the main reasons for this show, one of the main reasons why we're talking on the air tonight, at least that's my
opinion. Well, great. Yeah, that's well said. Now, we're really impressed with time. Brother Eddie, I definitely want to hear you. We got about 3 minutes. I want to hear your response to the gentleman from Georgia.
All right. I'll make it quick then. I agree that the women's right has altered relationships and how everything, I guess, flows or goes or whatever. But not in the manner that it's being presented. I personally think that the women getting rights and jobs and all that stuff, I think it unveiled individuality, and it also showed that it was only because of the income that men really dictated how the household was ran versus being respected to run the household. So now it's not you're a man because you do this, because you have to prove yourself to be a man now, whereas you are given the title man. You can give somebody a title. That doesn't mean that they live up to that title. And because the society was set up the way that it was, a woman couldn't get a job or whatever, you were given that you were a man. That was given to you. You didn't earn it, and now you got to earn it. And now dudes, like you said, are suckers, and they look like suckers because they don't have no choice because they can't hide it because now they have to fight for their jobs, and they got to prove through their abilities and their minds and their wisdom that they are who they claim to be, which is a provider in the sense that you guys are trying to say men, or the guy saying that men are whatever and taking over the household and stuff like that.
Now, money is not an issue, and your confidence is what gets you the girl or the guy or whatever. It's not your, because you got a whole bunch of broke dudes that's smashing chicks that's rich
left
and
right.
Paying their bills. So that has nothing
left
to do with nothing. I don't really have time to really go into what this is, so it's probably got to be 2 weeks of seeing you, because I really want to come in on this. But in the end, I think it unveiled and exposed a lot of what we thought was what it was and it wasn't. So now you have to prove to be a man as opposed to just being given that title because you got a job and you're able to pay bills, whereas she didn't have a chance to show you her ability and her capabilities and show you that you really shouldn't have been running this in the first place. And this is not new that women, there's been women that were really dominant. You heard of henpecked husbands way before people had jobs. So, like I said, we can go into this all day, but I really want to hear a brief something from Sig. She's probably fuming right now. I don't even think we got time. I'm probably going to start that after this and not get no sleep.
Okay, 20 seconds, Sig. What you got? Real 20 seconds. Ready?
So on this, women need to learn to be submissive.
Thank you.
That's to the point. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great show. We're about to shut down in the next couple of seconds here. I want to thank everybody for being on the show. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on the show. We're going to have an open forum to the dialogue. So everyone say good night, and we'll see you next week.
Love y'all, man.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Good night.
Love you guys. God bless.
Play back.
Power!